Welcome to the Speedway's acquisition of Hess Retail conference call. My name is John, and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Tim Griffith. Mr. Griffith, you may begin.
Okay, thank you, John. Thank you for joining us this morning to discuss the transaction MPC announced this morning to acquire Hess's retail operations. The synchronized slides that accompany this call can be found on our website at themarathonpetroleum.com under the Investor Center tab. We plan to file the purchase and sale agreement with the SEC in the next few days. On the call today are Gary Heminger, President and CEO, Don Templin, Senior Vice President and CFO, and Tony Kenny, President of Speedway. If you flip to slide two, we invite you to read the safe harbor statement that is listed there. And a reminder that we will be making forward-looking statements during the presentation and during the question and answer session. Actual results may differ materially from what we expect today. Factors that could cause actual results to differ are included here as well as in our filings with the SEC. Now I'll turn the call over to Gary Heminger for an overview of the transaction.
Thanks, Tim, and good morning, and thank you everyone for joining our call. Let's start our discussion on slide three. We are very pleased this morning to announce we have reached a definitive agreement with Hess Corporation to acquire all of their retail operations. The transaction includes 1,256 company-operated locations, a 1 billion gallon per year transport fleet, and their various pipeline shipper histories, including 40,000 barrels per day on the Colonial system. As we have stated in the past, one of our key strategies is to grow the higher valued, more stable cash flow businesses within MPC. To further that strategic objective, this transaction represents a unique opportunity to acquire high-quality assets and expand the Speedway brand to the East Coast and Southeast U.S. The location map on the right side of this slide highlights the substantial geographic expansion opportunity this acquisition represents for MPC and Speedway. The combined businesses will create a leading retail position in the eastern United States. The total consideration for the business is $2.874 billion, comprised of $2.37 billion cash purchase price, plus an estimated $230 million in net working capital and the assumption of $274 million in capital leases. This represents approximately 7.9 multiple of 2017 EBITDA once we are able to achieve a substantial amount of the synergies and marketing enhancements we expect in the business. Tony Kenny, our president of Speedway, will provide more information on these opportunities shortly. We expect to fund the transaction with a combination of debt and available cash and anticipate closing the transaction late in the third quarter, subject to regulatory clearance and customary closing conditions. Now, turning to slide four, we believe this acquisition will be a transformative for the enterprise. In addition to substantially moving forward the organic growth plans for Speedway that we shared with investors in December, it will provide an accelerated change in the composition of the MPC portfolio with an increasing focus on higher valued, more stable cash flow businesses. The additional 1,256 locations along the East Coast and Southeast will provide MPC with a significant growth platform, which will allow us to extend our integrated business model, including refining, midstream, and logistics, as well as the Marathon brand and wholesale businesses into these contiguous markets. The additional 3.1 billion gallons of refined products, which are currently distributed through the system, will contribute a notable scale expansion to the MPC system and will also present opportunities through a larger platform around the light product supply in all of our markets. Although our objective in the near term after closing will be integrating this business and establishing the Speedway brand into these new markets, the combined retail business will provide multiple levels of optionality as we continue to evaluate opportunities to enhance our enterprise value. Moving on to slide five, we continue to believe the integrated downstream model is a significant value driver for our business. The immediate addition of 200,000 barrels per day of refined product demand substantially increases our assured gasoline sales to approximately 75% of our refining production. It also provides an additional outlet for production from our Gulf Coast refineries. The increase in scale and presence will also allow for improved utilization of existing MPC terminals by an additional 70,000 barrels per day of throughput, and through the assured volume in these markets, it will provide an opportunity to further expand the growth platform for the Marathon brand and wholesale sales in the East and Southeast U.S. We believe the current supply and terminal agreements will provide near-term competitive supply into this system, and we will seek to optimize this where we see incremental value over the long term by building on our logistics and midstream platform. We are enthusiastic about the rare opportunity this acquisition represents to accelerate our plans to grow the higher-valued, more stable cash flow segments of our business and build on the integrated platform in MPC. Let me turn it over to Tony to provide some additional perspective on this opportunity and the step function change to Speedway's business. Tony?
Thanks, Gary. As Gary said, this is a unique opportunity to acquire retail assets to complement our existing system, and we are very enthusiastic about our future. S Retail is the largest operator of convenience stores along the East Coast and the fifth largest in the U.S. Speedway is the nation's fourth largest company-owned and operated convenience store chain. The addition of Hess stores to Speedway network of sites broadens Speedway's geographic footprint and positions Speedway as the premier C-store chain in the eastern U.S. Slide 6 shows that the combined business will have pro forma annual revenues of over $27 billion, making us the largest company-owned and operated convenience store chain in the U.S. by revenue. With over 2,700 combined locations in the U.S., we will also be the second largest convenience store chain by company-operated locations. This is a tremendous opportunity for Speedway to bring our well-known Midwest brand to millions of new customers. This acquisition will expand our operations from 9 states to 23 states with approximately 34,000 employees. We will be nearly doubling our fuel sales volumes to over 6 billion gallons with merchandise sales of nearly $5 billion. We believe there are substantial synergies with our existing retail and logistics assets. On slide 7, we highlight those significant synergies and economies of scale that drive value for MPC and Speedway. We have identified $75 million of potential expense savings primarily related to operational efficiencies across over 2,700 store locations, as well as other potential expense reductions related to combined company overhead. We also anticipate realizing approximately $45 million of light product supply savings associated with some of the items Gary highlighted earlier regarding higher utilization of MPC's existing terminal network and improving supply chain management. The expected marketing enhancements of $70 million will be driven by overall economies of scale and growth opportunities, particularly in areas of food service and general merchandise. These areas will provide the opportunity to leverage our Speedy Rewards loyalty program that I will discuss in a moment. The integration process will be expedited given Hess's previous preparation for a potential spinoff of its retail business to shareholders. Turning to slide 8, Speedway has built an industry-leading loyalty program with over 3.7 million active members. The program offers customers discounts and various other rewards that drive in-store traffic and merchandise opportunities based on continued loyalty. The industry-leading Speedy Rewards program has played a significant role in Speedway's ability to grow merchandise sales and fuel volume by 3.5% per year during a flat industry demand over the last 2 years. Comparing merchandise margin at Speedway's location to the Hess locations on a per-store basis, you can see that Speedway locations generate an incremental $17,300 per store per month. Translating that, over all 1,256 locations would amount to $250 million of annual merchandise margin potential, of which we expect to realize $70 million in the first 3 years. Due in large part to Speedway's ability to grow merchandise margin and fuel sales volume, slide 9 shows we have a proven track record for growing EBITDA per store. from 2009 to 2013, Speedway per store EBITDA has seen a compounded annual growth rate of 10.5%. As you can see on the lower graph, this compares favorably to our other convenience store chains we view as comparators. In addition to growing EBITDA, slide 10 illustrates that Speedway's focus on light product break-even has provided meaningful results. Light product break-even is a measure of operating efficiency and merchandise contribution to total expenses. One way to think about it is the amount of refined product margin necessary to cover all expenses net of merchandise margin. Said another way, it is the amount of refined product margin needed to exactly break even on a pre-tax earnings basis. Any amount of refined product margins above LPBE accrue directly to earnings. Since 2005, Speedway has driven our break even from over 7 cents per gallon to approximately 2.5 cents per gallon in 2013. Our calculation of Hess's equivalent break-even is over 12 cents per gallon. Each 1 cent per gallon improvement in the light product break-even is equal to approximately $30 million in annual pre-tax earnings. We are excited to apply our merchandise sales focus across a broader spectrum of retail assets to deliver both sales and margin growth, and we see tremendous opportunity across our combined retail network to further drive shareholder value. Before I turn it over to Don, I'd just like to say that we look forward to welcoming the Hess Retail Associates to the Speedway family. Don?
Thanks, Tony. Slide 11 shows Speedway's capital spending profile that we shared with you at our Analyst Day in December, as well as a revised outlook. Over the next 3 years, we estimate we will need to spend approximately $410 million to convert the acquired locations to the Speedway brand and transition them to our information technology systems, including point of sale and Speedy Rewards terminals. This amount also includes spending to remodel some of the acquired locations and to implement Speedway's marketing programs. In addition to these items, the increase in ongoing maintenance capital costs is estimated at approximately $50 million per year. The timing of conversion spending is primarily weighted to the first few years after the transaction closes. As you can see from the hashed red bar, we have revised our estimate for Speedway's organic growth projects that we reported on Analyst Day in light of the acquisition. Slide 12 shows MPC's current capital structure compared to a pro forma capital structure if the acquisition were financed with 100% debt at year-end 2013. For MPC alone, debt to EBITDA was 0.7 times, and our debt to total capital ratio was 23%. Assuming 100% of the acquisition is financed with debt, pro forma debt to EBITDA would be about 1.3 times, and the debt to total capital ratio would be approximately 36%. We expect to finance the purchase with a combination of debt and available cash, so the leverage post-acquisition should be lower than what we presented here. As we've highlighted in the past, we are committed to maintaining an investment grade credit profile. Turning to slide 13, to wrap up, I want to reiterate Gary's earlier comments by highlighting that this transaction accelerates our strategy to grow higher valued and stable cash flow businesses, especially in areas that are contiguous and complementary to our asset base. The addition of these assets will provide a larger integrated platform to grow into new markets and optimizes the efficiency of our existing assets. This transaction will meaningfully expand scale and provide multiple levels of strategic optionality in the future. An additional point I want to reemphasize is that we remain committed to a balanced approach of making value-enhancing investments in the business and returning capital to our shareholders. And this transaction provides continuing evidence of that commitment. With that, I'll turn it over to Tim to open up the call for questions.
Okay, thanks, Don. So, John, I think we're ready to take some questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from Doug Leggett from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I wonder if I could take two, please. My first one is, first of all, congratulations on what looks like a very strong deal in terms of synergies. However, I'm curious about how you go about assessing the initial synergies and how conservative those numbers may prove to be. And what I'm thinking about specifically is that there's no mention of RINs in terms of what this might mean for the wider company. So that's my first question. My second one is really perhaps in light of the ETP deal for Susser, I'm just curious as to how you think about whether or how, if at any point in the future, your retail business might be ripe for consideration as an NLP. And I'll leave it there, please. Thanks.
Thank you, Doug. Your first question about how do we go about assessing things like this, and we did a tremendous amount of due diligence. And, you know, let me start off by saying John Hess and his team have really done a great job with these assets in their premier locations and a really, really strong platform. However, we see that there are tremendous opportunities, as Tony illustrated in his slides, the amount of merchandise margin per store per month that is available and what we comp or how we've been able to execute and recognize that merchandise per store per month in our Speedway system, we think is easily transferable. So we look at things on merchandise sales, merchandise margin, and those two are not necessarily equal because with the scale that we're going to have with the with almost, not quite, but almost doubling the size of Speedway, the scale is certainly going to drive lower cost of goods sold. In addition, we look at many operating opportunities from a G&A side, from a home office side, but also direct operating costs in different ways that we may operate versus the way Hess has operated historically. And I'll go to the next question, but Tony, you want to add anything to that synergy question?
Hey, Gary, the only thing I'd add is that, you know, I think the business are very complementary. Hess has done an outstanding job of driving light product volume at their locations, and our performance inside the store has been slightly better than the Hess performance. So the opportunity for capturing some of this marketing enhancement lies in our ability to utilize our Speedy Rewards program to drive some of that gasoline volume traffic that Hess has performed so well at inside the store to be able to capture additional marketing opportunities.
And I'll just say one more thing on this, Doug. I'm very confident and challenged the team very hard as we went through many, many iterations and scenarios, and very confident not only the synergies that we've put forth today, but you know, I believe we're just beginning to peel back the onion of the opportunities here, and we will find many more than just what we highlighted today. Now, going to your second question, sure, we're very aware of the deal, you know, the Susser ETP deal, and understand that quite clearly. And as I said in, I think, my second or third slide, certainly this gives us multiple levels of optionality. When I look now at MPC with this transaction, east of the Rockies, you know, top refining system, top pipeline system, top terminal system, and top retail and marine system. So we have many, many levels of optionality on how we can, you know, try to enhance the value, you know, from this portfolio.
Thanks. Congratulations again, Gary.
Thanks, Doug.
Our next question comes from Edward Westlake from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, just I guess on the 250 million merchandise synergy number, and obviously we've digital stores at Speedway, and you know, you can see how you're going to generate a much higher potential. So you know, certainly good luck doing that. But in terms of timing, you know, beyond 2017, give us a sense of, should we just assume that you'll ratably do it, or are there some big actions that you think you can get to get up to that much larger number?
Tony and Don, you want to handle that?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a follow-up as well.
Okay. Yeah, this is Tony. Yeah, that's going to be an ongoing process. As you pointed out, we have highlighted the potential of merchandise margin growth inside the store. And we have some fairly specific plans in terms of how we'll ultimately drive that. The real opportunity I mentioned in my comments is around food service and general merchandise. So that general merchandise category is a fairly broad one in our vernacular. Includes a lot of the other grocery type items we sell, the high margin items inside of the cold vault with energy drinks, waters, teas, isotonics, carbonated drinks as well. And we've actually performed quite well in that area. So we have specific marketing programs around being able to drive that increasing margin opportunity. And it really does go well beyond the 2017 horizon. So to be able to capture that, we'll be able to have an ongoing process to continue to work and drive with innovation from our business partners and so forth.
And then for Gary, you know, I mean, obviously your choice is, I mean, and this is a strategic move, so, you know, understand that you're excited by it, but your choice would have been perhaps just to continue to buy back stock and live within the footprint you have. How did you think about the sort of the internal hurdles of stock buybacks versus doing this strategic transformation?
Sure, and that's a good question. As Don mentioned in his comments, we plan to do both. We evaluated, you know, by continuing just to buy back stock, but we see this transaction giving us, as I said, this multiple level of optionality. I would have been disappointed if I would see that this asset, this transaction would have gone to some other party, because I think there's so much synergy that we can bring to the table from our refining system. As you know, in February of last year, we closed Galveston Bay, and I stated at that time, you know, our strategy is to build back up our assured sales. This certainly helps to do this. We have a very strong logistics system to be able to move the barrels there. 70,000 barrels per day are going to go through our terminal system. We have a very strong waterborne system to be able to move these barrels into Florida and all the way up to the East Coast. We're going to be able to exchange to the additional Colonial space that we got here, the Colonial space that we purchased when we bought BP. So this really fits us like a glove, and it's going to tee us up for long-term growth. And your question is spot on, and you and I have discussed this before. There's a delicate balance on returning capital to shareholders, which, as Don said, we're going to continue to do, but also in growing the business. If you just return all your cash to shareholders, over a long period of time, how are you going to be able to sustain that type of cash return? This gives us the platform that can't get into the details on logistics side yet, but this gives us the platform on how we can move more through our logistics system, more through our terminals, more through our pipelines that enhances the value of our MLP. And I think it enhances the value of many other things we're looking at into the future.
And thanks very much, Greg.
Sorry. This is Don. Just we have historically obviously been focused on returning capital to shareholders, but you know, that's been driven by a view around what core liquidity, you know, what our core liquidity requirements are. And you know, we've consistently communicated and I think also acted in a way that says if we have capital that's in excess of our core liquidity, you know, it's available for either investment in the business or returning to our shareholders. And since we've been a standalone company, you know, we've been steadfast to that commitment. I think we've invested about $6 billion in the business, and we've returned about $6 billion of capital to our shareholders in the form of dividends and share repurchases. So, you know, we drive it really off of available cash after we consider our core liquidity needs, and then we deploy that capital. And if we don't have an investment in the business to deploy that capital, we think it's our obligation to return it to our shareholders.
Very good.
Our next question comes from Paul Sankey from Wolf Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Paul.
I was just, as a follow-up to that latter answer, do you have a target for your debt-to-cap capital ratio, either a target or a range?
I don't think we have a specific target. I think, you know, what we are focused on is making sure that, you know, we operate well within the parameters of maintaining our investment-grade credit profile. And, you know, we have regular interaction with and communication with the rating agencies. And I think, you know, we feel very comfortable that taking on some incremental debt in relation to this transaction, you know, fits well within our ability to maintain that investment-grade credit profile.
But I assume that you would be wanting to pay down some of this debt going forward.
I'm not sure that, you know, we would necessarily have to do that, Paul. I think that, you know, we will consider as we work up to the closing date, you know, we said we would use some cash and some debt to fund the transaction. And, you know, we will also be guided by core liquidity and the cash that we have in the business at the time of the closing. But I would assume that, you know, we will probably have some debt that we could prepay if we wanted to, but that's to provide flexibility. We believe that our balance sheet right now, given the levels that we've talked about, even including sort of 100% debt financing and the pro forma numbers that we've shown here, can fit us comfortably in that investment-grade credit profile.
Sure, I understand. And then, Gary, it's interesting how you talk about the outlet. I think you're a little bit differentiated here in terms of wanting to be able to place your gasoline. Is that because you see a glut or coming, or is there some other driver behind this idea that you want to get the ratio between your gasoline sales and your gasoline production, I think, as high as you can? Is that generally the idea? Thanks.
Yes, Paul. And really, with our model, being a fully integrated downstream player, it just gives us, you know, our supply chain from the crude coming into the refineries all the way to the consumer's tank. As we can, have the rateability, which drives efficiency, which drives lower cost, which drives more volume through our pipelines, terminals, and those assets that qualify for an MLP, all along the way, even if you're only picking up pennies here and there, the type of volume now that we're talking about within Speedway of improving that scale to over 6 billion gallons, it just drives tremendous efficiency. You know, you look at Tony's, the one slide that he talked about looking at light product break-even. I don't know if there's anybody as close to where Speedway is in light product break-even. A lot of that is because of the rateability and the efficiency on how we move everything into the marketplace, and I think that we're going to be able to, you know, compound that going into this transaction.
Thanks. And then one very quick follow-up. Are you totally rebranding Hess across all its stations, and did you not see any value in the brand in the Northeast? Thanks.
Tony?
Yeah, Paul, this is Tony Kenny. Yeah, it's by agreement that we basically need to rebrand. We have a license arrangement for the Hess brand for a 3-year period, and then after that we will have to convert those stores.
Right, so it's a total rebrand of all the stations.
Yeah, Paul, we saw a lot of value in the Hess brand, but as you appreciate, Hess is, you know, an ongoing publicly traded company, and the colors and the and the marquee is their brand. So, you know, it's going to take us about 3 years, as Tony said, to be able to rebrand these. And then, our whole system will be on Speedway.
Understood. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Roger Reed from Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, I guess maybe to follow up on the rebranding, I was trying to do some of the numbers here. So 1,256 retail locations you acquire with this. That's the correct number, right?
Right.
That's okay, great. So $410 million of CapEx is $325 a store. Can you give us an idea maybe of, as you look at that spending, what percentage goes towards bringing it up to the Speedway Speedy Rewards program capabilities, and then, you know, what part has to go to the actual, you know, rebranding, making the stores better for the merchandise sales? Kind of, if you could, maybe walk me through, you know, what do we see year one, what do we see, I understand on the EBITDA number where we get by 2017, but kind of, you know, your thoughts on maybe when you'd expect some performance metrics on those fronts.
Tony, you want to handle that?
Yeah, I will, Gary. Actually, let me try and describe it this way for you, Roger. The rebranding effort is around $150,000 per store. So when you look at the capital that Don talked about in his comments, so everything above that, there's a $50 million run rate of maintenance CapEx that we have in the going years, and then the rest is basically remodel-type investment, some other inside store investments to be able to capture some of the marketing and margin, sales and margin opportunities that we have. So you can kind of do the math around the $150 per store for re-identification. It also includes a component of be able to put our store technology platforms in place, so our point of sale, our Speedy Rewards terminals, the $50 million run rate of maintenance CapEx, and then the balance of that capital that Don showed on his slide will go toward the marketing programs to begin to drive the sales and margins going forward.
Okay, so that's why most of that the sort of marketing enhancement is the back end weighted part of the step up in EBITDA performance.
Yeah, there's a ramp up, sure. And the question we had earlier about the opportunity that really goes beyond year three of what we've showed you on our slides.
Sure,
but Roger, I would expect that we'll start as we, you know, put these Speedy Rewards terminals in, and you know, our own technology and back office platform that will drive our inventory, and if you have less out of stocks, you have more sales. But we will start following metrics on all of those things immediately.
Okay. And then a follow-up question along those lines so we understand what's going on the storefront. Gary, you sound very, very excited about the logistics upside here. Can you give us an idea of what some of the inefficiencies are in the system today, say as two separate systems, and then, you know, where do we actually get it? Is it more so on the marine side? Is it more so, you know, through, you know, the use of Colonial Pipeline allocations? Is it, you know, enhanced trucking, tank improvements? I mean, I'm just curious where the biggest bang for the buck is there.
I'm going to hire you to come and run my logistics system. You just mentioned all of the things. But it's all those things. You know, you look at the New York Harbor all the way down to, you know, Savannah, Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa. All the terminals are all waterborne. You can take in bigger ships. You can have less loading time, less demurrage. Up Colonial Pipeline, this with the 50,000 barrels a day, we got in the BP transaction. Now we have 90,000 barrels a day of allocated space on Colonial. Gives us a much better and one of, you know, the lowest cost option to be able to transfer barrels up into the, you know, into the Northeast, which, you know, is a good supply chain synergy, to be able to have that type of allocated capacity on Colonial Pipeline. You know, these incremental 70,000 barrels per day that will go through our terminals in Charlotte and Tampa and Jacksonville and Fort Lauderdale, and I can take you, you know, up the line. You know, we have terminals up and down all of Colonial and Plantation Pipeline. It's just going to give us, you know, more throughput, more synergy, therefore more value. All of the above, and, you know, if you can move bigger, you know, pipeline batches, we call them, if you can move bigger tanks in your marine system, it just leads to lower cost.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from Matthew Blair from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I was hoping you could clarify the logistics portion of the deal. I think there was mention of about 70,000 barrels per day of additional terminal throughputs and then this 1 billion gallon per year transport fleet. So I guess number one, what is the total midstream EBITDA in this deal? And then number two, is there any option to sell some of these logistics assets to MPLX?
Yes, Matthew, there are no logistics assets per se that, you know, like pipelines or terminals. The what we picked up was pipeline allocated space, and the differentiation there is pipeline allocated space to the Northeast is completely over allocated. There's no pipeline capacity left. So being able to pick this value up is very important to this transaction. However, there's 70,000 barrels a day that I just mentioned in to the last question to Roger. There's about 70,000 barrels a day that will go through our own terminals. As you know, we have not dropped our terminal assets yet into MPLX. So this will certainly add value, and you know, you can do the, you know, quick back of the envelope math on the value that can be dropped in at 70,000 barrels per day at market rates. The trucking assets, so they have their own proprietary fleet that can move about a billion gallons a year in trucking the product to the stores. Those are assets that we are getting today. Trucking is, I do not believe, correct me, Don, I do not believe trucking is eligible for an MLP.
I don't believe it is. No, Gary, I don't believe it is.
Yeah, okay. Does that answer your question, Matthew?
Yes, thank you. Could you also talk about how this deal might affect your exposure to purchased RINs? Are you less exposed going forward? And if so, could you quantify that, please?
Yeah, we think we're very, very, very balanced. And if anything, this will help us because we'll have, you know, if we blend more volume, this will give us, you know, the blender is the one who controls. So this gives us more optionality to blend more volume if we decide to do that. So it won't be a negative. If anything, it'll be a positive.
Got it. And then the last one for Don. Could you remind us, what is your minimum cash balance and also what is remaining on your current share repurchase authorization? Thanks.
Sure. The we've said that you know, our core liquidity number is somewhere between $500 million and $1.5 billion, and that's at the low point of the cash cycle. So that's typically on the 20th of the month after we make the crude payments. In terms of our account or our share repurchase authorization, we had at the end of March we had $1.1 billion remaining on that authorization, Matthew.
Great. Thank you very much.
Our next question. Actually, it looks like we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, very well. Well, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us for the call this morning and for the interest in Marathon Petroleum Corporation and this acquisition. If there are additional questions or you'd like clarification on any of the topics discussed this morning, Beth Hunter and Jerry Young will be available to take your calls today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.